Well, Garrison Keillor said, "Beauty isn't worth thinking about. What's important is your mind. You don't want a $50 haircut on a 50-cent head." Now, you may have to think about that one for just a moment because it kind of sneaks up on you. Maybe you've met some 50-cent heads sporting a $50 haircut. Beauty. What makes someone beautiful, attractive, alluring? There have been many different ways that question has been answered throughout the centuries and in different cultures around the world. And as an illustration of that, a journalist named Esther Honig sent an unaltered photo of herself to Photoshop experts around the world and told them, "Make me beautiful." The following short video shows some of the results that she got back. Well, how does the Bible answer the question, what makes someone beautiful? We're going to talk about that today as part of our study. As a precursor, here are some of the scriptures that answer the question for us. Proverbs 31:30 says, "Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised." 1 Peter 3:3, "Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious." 1 Timothy 4:7, "Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come." We began a study of the book of Esther last time, and we're going to continue that study today. A quick review of the story up to this point. The story takes place in the Persian Empire in the royal city of Susa around 480 BC when Xerxes is the king. In those days, King Xerxes hosted a huge party for all of the nobles, the officials, the dignitaries in his empire. And for many days, it said that he paraded before them all of his kingdom's incredible wealth and power. And then he put on this grand 7-day feast with food and drink and entertainment as never seen before. And near the end of this great feast, when the king was merry with wine, it said, he ordered Queen Vashti to appear before him and his guests. He wanted to show them how beautiful she was. Well, Queen Vashti refused to come, and the king was furious. No one dared refuse the king's command, especially in front of so many important guests. Well, following the counsel of his advisors, the title of queen was stripped from her, and she was forever banished from his presence. Later, after the king cooled down, he began to miss the queen. So his royal advisors proposed that a search for a new queen be made among the most beautiful virgins in his kingdom. He liked the idea. So all of the most beautiful young women throughout the kingdom were gathered to the city of Susa and placed in a special harem under the king's top cosmetologist, Haggai, to undergo extensive treatments and preparations before being presented to the king. Well, one of the young women who had been taken and put into this special harem was Esther, a beautiful Jewish girl who had lost both of her parents when she was very young. Her older cousin Mordecai then adopted her as his own daughter and has been taking care of her. Now, although it would have been terrifying to be torn from your family and everything that you're familiar with and put into this harem of the king's, Esther continued to trust the Lord day by day and waited to see what he would be doing through all of this. The hand of the Lord was on Esther. Neither she nor her cousin Mordecai knew at that time, But she is going to play a key role in saving her people, the Jews, from annihilation in the future. All of the things that are happening to Esther now are part of the Lord's plan to accomplish his work. What's happening in your life right now may be very confusing and not making a lot of sense. Be patient. Continue to walk with the Lord day by day, trusting him, and wait to see what he's going to do. He always has a purpose. We read last time, Romans 8:28. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Well, Esther immediately won the favor of Haggai. He gave her the best place in the harem, provided her with the best beauty treatments and food, and assigned 7 of the king's best maids to care for her. Today, we're going to read about how this beauty contest that Esther has been thrust into plays out. The stakes of this contest are considerably higher than the opportunity to wear a shiny crown and walk down a runway as Burt Park sings, "Here she comes, Miss America," or having to endure the embarrassment of Steve Harvey botching the announcement of the winner. The winner of this beauty contest will spend the rest of her days as the queen of the great Persian Empire, living a life of unimagined luxury and ease and privilege. The losers will spend the rest of their days separated from the rest of society and denied the opportunity to pursue a life of any kind. They will be the concubines of the king, used once for his sexual pleasure, and then not seen or heard from ever again. Let's turn to Esther chapter 2. And we'll begin reading in verse 12. Now when the turn came for each young woman to go in to King Xerxes, remember I told you last time Ahasuerus is also Xerxes. We're going to use his more familiar name, Xerxes. So now when the turn came for each young woman to go into King Xerxes, after being 12 months under the regulations for the women, since this was the regular period of their beautifying, 6 months with oil of myrrh and 6 months with spices and ointments for women, when the young women went into the king, when the young woman went in to the king in this way, she was given whatever she desired to take with her from the harem to the king's palace. In the evening, she would go in, and in the morning, she would return to the second harem in custody of Shazgaz, the king's eunuch, who was in charge of the concubines. She would not go into the king again unless the king delighted in her and she was summoned by name. As pointed out once before, most of these young women are young teenage girls, so to call them women is really pressing the definition. They're girls. And before a girl appeared before the king, she completed a 12-month-long special beauty treatment and preparation process. This length of time that each girl spent preparing for her moment with the king gives us a sense of the magnitude of the pressure that these girls are under. When a girl's turn came to go into the king, she was given anything she wanted to take with her to help her win over the king. Jewelry, clothing, perfumes, love potions, gifts for the king, whatever. Each one of them was given the opportunity to take her best shot at capturing the king's attention and his love. In the evening, she would be escorted to the king's palace to spend the night with him. The next morning, she would be escorted to another harem where the concubines stayed. A concubine was a second-class wife of sorts. She was a woman that the king might have physical relations with if he chooses to, but she was not granted any of the rights and privileges of a real wife. She was for the king's pleasure and reserved only for the king's pleasure. In this particular case, the girls would most likely never again be brought back to the king. She would just be one of hundreds of young women at the king's disposal. It was literally a one-night stand in that way. Following their one night with the king, these young women lived the rest of their lives like widows. They were forever the property of the king, though never allowed in his presence again, and never allowed to go out and pursue any other kind of life. They were sentenced to living the rest of their days in a prison of sorts, a prison with some very nice amenities, but still a prison. Imagine the pressure these girls are under. If you didn't capture the king's heart on your one date with him, you were history. You were discarded and cast off like a piece of human garbage. This one meeting that a girl had with the king meant either a life of luxury and prestige as the queen of one of the great kingdoms of the earth at the time, or a lifetime of loneliness and virtual slavery. Verse 15, when the turn came for Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her as his own daughter, to go in to the king, she asked for nothing except what Haggai, the king's eunuch, who had charge of the women, advised. Now Esther was winning favor in the eyes of all who saw her. So it's now Esther's turn to appear before the king. The thing I want us to take note of is Esther's character. For example, she had the opportunity to take anything she wanted with her when she goes in to see the king, but she doesn't request any of the usual jewelry, ornaments, love potions, lavish gifts for the king that the girls typically would bring with them. Instead, she takes only what Haggai, the king's eunuch, advises. Now, we don't know what it was that Haggai told Esther to take with her. But he would know better than anyone what would be best to take with her. She trusts in his counsel. And in this, I want us to see her simplicity, her modesty, her humility, her trust, her depth, her wisdom, her godliness, in the end will bring great reward for her. In a word, her character is displayed in this. Note again in verse 15, it says, now Esther was winning favor in the eyes of all who saw her. In other words, she earned the respect and the admiration of everyone who came into contact with her. It was not her physical beauty that captured people's attention and admiration and respect. It was the beauty of her inner self. See, all of the girls in the harem were beautiful. Beauty, physical beauty, did not set her apart. It did not make her unique. Remember, these are all the most beautiful young women in the Persian Empire. But Esther stands out from the rest because of her inner beauty, her character. And I want to encourage all of us, both men and women, to concentrate our efforts on our inner beauty rather than our physical beauty. And it goes as much for those who are into physical fitness and nutrition and health as it does for those who are into clothes and makeup. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be fashionable and to look your best and be physically healthy and all of that. Nothing wrong with that. But our physical beauty should not be our main emphasis, our primary goal, where we spend the majority of our time and effort improving ourselves. Our biggest effort should be given to improving our inner person and our relationship with the Lord. 1 Timothy 4:7. Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Our physical appearance and fitness decline as we get older. Now, if you haven't reached that peak and started down on the other side, you're thinking, I just keep getting better. Yeah, well, that day is going to come when that won't be true anymore. See, if we haven't died of something else beforehand, our physical body eventually just wears out. Wrinkles and skin splotches and sags and aches and pains and declining strength and speed and all of the other things that come along with aging eventually catches up with all of us. None of us are immune to it. Aging is still an incurable disease with a 100% infection rate and a 100% fatality rate. So concentrate your greatest efforts on what will hold promise for both your present life and the life to come. Train yourself to be godly. Build your relationship with the Lord and your character. These are the things that are going to last forever. Your six-pack abs and your beautiful complexion are going to go the way of the dinosaur. Now, I don't say any of that to bum you out, but to remind us all that we need to focus our efforts on eternal things rather than temporary things. Focus on spiritual things rather than carnal things. 1 Corinthians 9:24, Paul wrote, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." 1 Peter 3:3, Peter wrote, "Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious." Now, Peter originally wrote those words to women, but it applies to men too. Focus on the hidden person of the heart. Focus on the imperishable beauty, the beauty that lasts forever, of a gentle and quiet spirit, of your character. These things, he says, are very precious in God's sight. These things are valued highly by the Lord. Verse 16 of Esther 2. "And when Esther was taken to King Xerxes into his royal palace in the 10th month, which is the month of Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign, the king loved Esther more than all the women, and she won grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown on her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Then the king gave a great feast for all his officials and servants. It was Esther's feast. He also granted a remission of taxes to the provinces and gave gifts with royal generosity." So contrary to what some people may have said to you, good girls do win. After meeting Esther, the king had no desire to continue his search for a queen. He immediately makes Esther his wife and queen. He loved her, it says, and he placed the royal crown on her head. He gave a great banquet in her honor to celebrate and proclaimed a national holiday, Esther Day. Why was the king drawn to Esther over all of the other young women? Two reasons. First, because the Lord's hand was on her. We talked about this before. The Lord's hand was on her. The Lord is working all of this out to accomplish his purposes for his people, which we will learn about as the story progresses. See, it's not all of the human machinery that we bring to the party that makes things happen. It's the God at work in and through us that makes things happen. The other girls who had appeared before the king were all very beautiful. And they brought all kinds of stuff with them to win his love. Jewelry, love potions, gifts. But none of that accomplished what only the Lord could do. Proverbs 21:1, it says, "The king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will." The second reason the king was drawn to Esther was her inner beauty, her character, which came from the Lord. She was a person of depth and character. There was nothing shallow about Esther. The warmth of God that poured out of her life was something the king wanted to be close to. The warmth of the Lord pouring out of your life will be a thing that attracts people to you too. People are hungry for substance and this spiritual warmth of the Lord. In closing this morning, Esther was a person who chose character over physical beauty. Proverbs 31:30, it says, "Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised." Charm and beauty are not substitutes for the true inner beauty of character. Proverbs 11:22 says, "Like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman without discretion." A gold ring in a pig's snout is a complete incongruous thing. It makes no sense. Those two things don't belong together. A gold ring and a pig's snout. Putting a gold ring in a pig's snout can't make up for or disguise the fact that a pig is a pig. A similar modern day expression is putting lipstick on a pig doesn't change the fact that a pig is a pig. No matter how you dress a pig up, a pig is still a pig. In a similar way, a person's physical beauty can't make up for a lack of discretion or a lack of good character. Physical beauty cannot make up for a lack of good character. We can't hide the true nature on the inside by simply applying more decoration to the outside. Charm is deceitful or deceptive. Charm is not true character. Charm is a painted-on personality. It's false. The Lord doesn't want us to deceive and manipulate and use people with charm. He wants us to be people of integrity, of honesty, of sincerity, of truth. Beauty is vain or fleeting. It doesn't last. Preserving our physical beauty is a huge business. Billions with a big B, billions of dollars are spent on beauty preservation through cosmetics, plastic surgery, rigorous physical fitness programs, life-lengthening diets, anti-aging vitamins, and on and on. We're fighting the inevitable. Physical beauty is an unstoppable, fading thing. It's a lifeboat with a leak that can't be plugged. There's nothing wrong with you doing what you can to improve your physical appearance and health. Nothing wrong with that. But keep your priorities straight. Emphasize the right thing, the things with lasting value. As it says at the end of that proverb, a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. And it can also be said, a man who fears the Lord can be praised. In other words, pursue and build your relationship with the Lord and your character. 1 Peter 3:4, let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. 1 Timothy 4:8, for while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. See, this is how to make sure that you're not someone with a $50 haircut on a 50-cent head. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for the story of Esther and her example of one with inner beauty, one with character. And I pray, God, that we would focus our own efforts on our relationship with you and the building of our character, taking on the nature of Jesus. We thank you for the good work you do in our life, Lord. We ask you'd continue that. Bless your people today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.